Teacher Talk, where two teachers and a journalist explore what it means to choose teaching as a profession. I'm the journalist, Lori Walsh. Before we get to today's conversation, a little more about our Teacher Talk educators. Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member at the University of South Dakota and director of the Center for Student and Professional Services in the School of Education. She's been a teacher, a librarian, and an administrator. She's also an experienced registered yoga teacher. Gina Benz teaches at Roosevelt High School and helped develop the Teacher Pathway Program. She's adjunct faculty at the University of Sioux Falls and the University of South Dakota. Here's our conversation. We are going to honor the teenage brain. Jackie, this expands on the conversation we had with Gina about brain science, and that still has you thinking. Tell us a little bit about where you picked up where Gina Benz had left off with brain science for the next Teacher Talk column.
Yes. I had a lot of thoughts after our last conversation, and as I mentioned in the Brain Science Matters chat that we had, this is also part of my area of interest as an academic. This is what I did some of my dissertation research on. I'm just very curious about how young people learn, how we develop. But also, I'm particularly interested in teenagers. I find them to be really endearing and really challenging and very complicated, and I don't think I'm alone in that way. So it also kind of was serendipitous that after we had that conversation, I happened to read a couple of articles about the teenage mind and about the brain science of adolescence. And so I thought, let's continue the conversation.
Tell us some of the things that you found right away.
Sure. The first article I ran into was Edutopia. For those educators out there that haven't found Edutopia, or maybe all of you are laughing like, no, we found this so much longer ago than you are talking about. but it is George Lucas's blog. So there's a lot of creative, there's just really great resources on this blog. And then also it has kind of a creative lens to it in my mind.
Yeah.
But the article I found was called Projects, Purpose, and the Teenage Mind. And it is about a researcher who is talking about how teenagers are really wired for purpose. They like big questions. They like questions about identity, about justice, about meaning. They're in this state of transcendence because that is where developmentally they are. From 14 to about 24 or 25, their prefrontal cortex is still developing. And so they are asking really existential questions. That's where their minds are at. And so I've found that that's why I liked being a high school teacher. It's why I really like working at the university level, because we're in these, in my mind, like really meaningful conversations with people who are in that age.
Yeah. Gina, is that what you like about teaching high schoolers as well? That you like that age, obviously.
It's one of many things I like. I also like just walking with them through their activities and their experiences with prom and getting a job and starting to drive. But to answer your question, yes, yes, and yes. Teenagers love those existential deep questions. They want to figure out the world. They want to figure out themselves. And I know this because when people say, here's what I really like about your class, because I often ask students, what am I doing well? What do you think I could do better so I can be the best teacher possible for you? And they always say, keep the discussions, keep the discussions. Mm. They like to have discussions. And a lot of times the discussions can start at a surface level, but they like to figure out how to make it go deep. And some talk, and some just like to listen. And I always provide some time, too, for them all to write so that they can all get their ideas out somewhere.
Yeah. So I love what you say in this companion blog, Jackie, because it's not that adolescence is a parking ramp until
a waiting room for adulthood.
It's not a waiting room for adulthood. There are developmental things that are happening right during this time. What are some of those things, and how can adults support the teenagers in their lives
Yes. It is a critical stage of growth. It is a period of learning in its own right. They are developing. We talk a lot about boundaries on this show. That is what teenagers are learning so much about themselves. Boundaries really is a question of what is or is not okay for me. Mm-hmm. And then also what happens when I test the boundaries of the people around me, right? And so that, I think, is often misunderstood as defiance or as teenagers are misunderstood so frequently, right? But they are really are going through this developmental period of learning about who they are, how they fit into society, what is and is not okay for them. And so giving them opportunities to play around in that area is what they need. They need opportunities to try by doing and make mistakes so that they learn what the boundaries are of something. They don't want to be told. It's developmentally, when we talked about Soretta Hammond's work, she's saying the role of the teacher is to move from dependence to independence. Teenagers are telling us that every day. If you tell them something, they are going to defy it. So they're trying to find their own independent way through. So the more opportunities that we can give them to get their hands dirty, try it for themselves, make mistakes, find their own path, that is them learning their own way to independence rather than being, I don't know, coached or told what to do.
Yeah. So, Gina, what does that sound like in a dialogue? Because we'll talk about, like, teacher pathway and some of the, you know, hands-on experiences that adolescents need to have and value. But you just were talking about keeping a discussion. And I hear Jackie saying they have to learn how to make mistakes. That means when you're in a discussion with your peers, you're going to screw up.
Yeah, so in the classroom, you teach them how to have discussions while they're having discussions.
Okay.
You teach them how to have civil discourse, how to listen to each other, how to respond in thoughtful ways,
okay,
respectful ways, and also how it's okay to change your mind.
Mm.
It's okay to change your mind when you get new information. When you know better, you do better, right? So that's part of it. I also want to say with that dependence to independence thing, I see that at the high school level when it comes to parent-teacher conferences. Some people get all worried because not a lot of parents are coming to parent-teacher conferences, and I think that might be developmentally appropriate for many families, not all,
mm-hmm.
for many families. For my own kids, I wanted them to take more control of their learning and their school experience,
sure.
as their mom, because they needed more independence, and part of that was not going to parent-teacher conferences anymore and saying, this is your grade. And you have to be willing to let them suffer consequences. Like Jackie said, you said it quickly, but it is so important. You have to let kids make mistakes, especially while they're young and still in your care. Make the mistakes then rather than make the mistakes when you're 23, 24, 25,
yeah.
30.
Yeah.
Well, and developmentally, their brain is wired for that type of learning. They're actually quite resilient from mistakes, which I think is something that's also misunderstood because this is just anecdotal experience. It seems like when a mistake happens sometimes to a teenager, it can feel really wrought with strife and tears. You know, there can be a lot of emotions around it. But what they're doing there, too, is building resilience around the mistakes and learning from them very rapidly. Like I was saying at the beginning, their prefrontal cortex is not developed yet. And so to have these opportunities to experience the failures, the struggles, the things that didn't go well is also building neural pathways and growing resilience and strength in this part of their brain that is supposed to be developing during that time period.
Hmm. All right. So what are some of the ways that students can learn by doing? The teenage brain learns by doing. Gina talked about having a conversation, but what are some of the other ways, Jackie? And by the way, adolescence goes to
till 24.
Till 24.
Through college. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
so is, through college. Yeah.
That surprises me.
That brain development is happening mm-hmm. through college. So what mm-hmm. are some of the other ways that we're learning by doing?
Well, there's another book, and I haven't read the book, but I watched the interview from Lisa Lawson is the author, and the book is called Thrive: How the Science of the Adolescent Brain Helps Us Imagine a Better Future for All Children. Mm-hmm. And she was interviewed on PBS. And so I ordered the book after watching the interview. But she just had some really great ideas that I wanted to share. The main one that I took away in it, I think it was because we're doing a lot of this at the University of South Dakota in the School of Education, and so I was feeling proud of this work. But is it what's called experiential learning, which is learning by doing. Mm-hmm. So in college, it's very common to get an internship, an externship, do a practicum, have a field experience, and that work is critical to development because it's showing them through doing if you like the work that you might be doing in the future. Does this suit you? Does this fit you? And so every opportunity for that learning by doing, the hands-on experiences for adolescents is really important.
What is an externship?
So externships typically are more short-term. They're more of an observational or a job shadowing experience, whereas an internship is a longer-term hands-on role where you make a longer commitment to be there over the course of the semester. So more of like a pop-up experience versus a longer-term commitment.
So I have a question about all this because this was not something any of us, and we're different ages, but unless, Jackie, did you have this kind of experience in high school?
I did not. No, okay. I did not.
So the first time you had something like this, it would have probably been student teaching for you two, right?
Correct.
Okay. Or, no, you have another one?
No, I will say in high school, I was on the school newspaper.
Okay.
I think that applies.
Sure. Oh, clubs, activities, okay, sure, those. Sure. Yeah. If you're playing a sport, you're getting experiential learning. If you're on, exactly. That's exactly right, Gina. But then doing them kind of in this more purposeful job type of way, internship type of way, is a additional piece.
That's interesting.
And my school newspaper was a class we took during the day. And then we actually went to the local newspaper, the Lenox Independent, and then we would get it all set. And then it would come out in the local newspaper.
Oh,
I love that.
It was the best.
Okay. Jackie, do you have an experience like that in high school?
No, not in high school.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. So I would have done the literary magazine.
Yes.
In high school. Yeah. The same thing. We took submissions. We did a layout. We commissioned a cover art. We argued with the teacher about what cover art should be based on the principles of design, which we cared nothing about, but the art teacher cared a lot about, and we just wanted to do what we wanted to do. So I was learning things about creative expression and oversight and editorial control. And
I'm thinking, too, about just last week when my students was walking through the hall carrying a birdhouse. He made a birdhouse somewhere, right?
And
that goes home to parents or something. I think, too, about our statistics class, AP Statistics.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the classrooms and they start to survey students, and then they do work with that actual data and report back.
We would have done home economics, too.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, which was sewing and cooking, which was experiential stuff.
Theater,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Band. Marching band,
things,
sports, in debate, all these things that if you're, I like what you said, if you're doing it, and this was never really expressed to me when I was growing up, or at least I don't remember it, where someone said, do you like this thing that you're doing? That might be something that you might want to do in a career. Do you like that? Nobody ever asked me if I liked anything. Just did it.
But yes, I think that reflective piece, that's one of the things that I'm working on right now with our experiential learning, is that there is a self-evaluation for the students to do. So it's giving them a moment to say, okay, let me process this experience that I had out in the quote-unquote real world, and which parts of it do I like, which do I not? Can I see myself doing this? You know, those are the kind of really good questions to be asking.
Where do jobs fit in with this? Like the weekend job?
That's absolutely it too, right? Like any learning by doing is prime for adolescents. So having students get a part-time job is a totally developmentally appropriate thing to be doing during that time of their life.
Times have changed a lot, though, because now those activities were, for us, might have been fairly low investment activities. Some of those have become incredibly time-consuming activities for families that are interfering with other activities that they might be trying. Mm-hmm. That's a broad statement, but it leads to a question, which is, how much, Jackie, should you spread out those experiential learning things? Should that be in every classroom in some way? Or should they be saved in certain pockets of time? Like, how do we look at the experiential learning and apply it in the current context of education?
Oh, you know I want to answer this with, it depends, Laurie. That's what I love.
I love it when you answer with that. Yeah.
It does. I mean, obviously, there's a lot, and I just know this from my office coordinates a lot of the experiential learning. So there's a tremendous amount of logistics, right? You're depending on the breadth and depth of the experience, you're coordinating with employers, you're coordinating with other organizations. There's logs of time and hours spent and all of that. You know, there's a lot to coordinate. But from a learning by doing definition, you can do a very small project inside of your classroom that is one class activity. And, you know, you can say, build a birdhouse today, right? And then now they have learned by doing.
But just and here is this the key thing. I love this sentence. It says, it's not just career exploration. It is developmentally aligned learning.
Exactly.
So even if you never build another birdhouse in your life, even if you take teacher pathway and don't become a teacher, it's more than I learned what I didn't want to do. It is also developmentally appropriate learning. Gina, help expand on that.
Because it's never just the skill.
You're not just trying out teaching. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just the skills that obviously go with the title. There's so many skills you learn in all of these things that can apply in other areas of life. When you build a birdhouse, there's so much with measuring and cutting, and you can do so much with that in other ways. And teacher pathway, I always tell my students, even if you decide not to be a teacher, a lot of you will become parents, and it is important to learn about child development and all the different needs students have and how they learn best.
Do you ever say to them, and by the way, your prefrontal cortex, you know, formed during this activity?
No, I've never said
that. I wonder,
that.
Because this also makes it okay to quit something.
Yes.
I think because when my daughter was in high school, she played cello. And there, you know, as you get better and better at a skill, there is an expectation that somehow that will be a forever thing. And at some point, I would just remind her again and again, like, you did this because you learned so many things about it, not so you could grow up to be a cellist. If you want to, sure. And it's not so you can be a great audience member at the symphony, although we heard that a lot too. Well, they'll appreciate music. Okay, that's nice. But I was also like, the act of sitting there and learning music is helping your brain develop.
Yes.
Exactly.
And if you want to put that down and do something else in the future, it's done its purpose.
I love that. You're just saying the act of doing these new challenging things creates new connections in the brain.
Yeah.
And that is always good.
Yeah.
Yes. We often, I think, when we think about brain development or learning in general, think of it in a really linear way, or at least, I hesitate to say this, that might be just a much more traditional way of looking at school, right?
Sure.
You do algebra and then you move to geometry and then you move to pre-calculus, like in this like forward motion linear way. But really what adolescent brains are wired to do is to make a lot of different connections across a variety of different experiences. And the more exposure they can have to a diverse array of opportunities, the more neurons are firing and the more they are developing their prefrontal cortex and the more they're forming meaning about who they are in their lives. I think it's more about thinking about themselves as like wearing a lot of different styles of clothing. You can just try that on and then see if how it feels on you, right? Like, is this my style, yes or no? And you're not going to really know until you put it on for a little bit.
Yeah. Say more about wired for purpose. Back to the beginning where we talk about, you know, identity, justice, meaning, these big ideas. That's a very different path than, you know, did I learn how to, you know, work with tools, for example, or did I learn how to sew, or did I learn how to put together a literary magazine or see how a newspaper is done? Some of those things might connect to purpose, but we're also talking about these big thoughts that they have about the world and their place in it. Gina, help us, which you see a lot because obviously you're diving into that world through literature.
Yeah, but something that applies to all educators, you'll hear students say, oh, it's just busy work.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they don't see purpose in it. They don't see that they're going to grow and be challenged in it. And so students want to, I don't think they'll say it to you directly, but they want challenge. They want something that's meaningful.
Sure.
And teachers, our job is to make sure they see the purpose in it and the meaning in it. And by the way, there's not just one purpose and one meaning. You could go on forever.
Yeah. So what do you do when you have an adolescent at this developmental age and they're just not connecting with, you know, the text, the book, the activity? They go and try things and they're like,
Well, I say what you said earlier. It's okay to not like everything. In fact, you're learning what you don't like.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do this all. Just stick with me through it. You will grow and be challenged a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll try the next one.
Jackie, what would you add to the, you know, either having a hard time grasping and engaging in an activity to plain old reaching out to do things that maybe the adults have to provide some guardrails from and say, no, you can't do that, but you can see the kid is going out and reaching for purpose?
Yeah. I think the thing that, what do I want to say here? This is prefrontal cortex development, right? Like that is... This piece that you're talking about is part of it. One of the functions of the prefrontal cortex is understanding your motivation, developing your attention, and having emotional regulation. So a student, upon finding something not interesting, it is developmentally appropriate that they would immediately disengage because they haven't developed this part of their brain yet that's like, okay, do I have a deeper motivation behind doing this task? I have practiced and developed my ability to sustain attention for a long period of time on something. I can regulate my emotions even though I'm bumping up against these feelings of not really wanting to do this very badly, right?
Yeah.
Impulse control is part of the prefrontal cortex. So when you're experiencing a teenager do all of these, what might be perceived as immature or disrespectful or disengaging behaviors, their brain has not developed the neural pathways to overcome this moment in time. And that is where you, as an adult who has a fully developed prefrontal cortex, needs to grow in this moment too to help them see that, right? And say, yeah. This is the challenge that you're facing right now. This is you growing and developing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that is what you're bumping up against is genuinely a not developed prefrontal cortex.
Yeah. Your kid's not just being difficult. Your students aren't just being difficult. Often there is a brain science reason for it, and therefore you can respond with your knowledge of brain science.
I think, go ahead,
you are
Jackie.
The teacher. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think when kids are little and they don't know how to walk, we like cheer them on and feel so excited and watch them, you know what I mean? Like we watch them learn how to do that and find that really endearing. And then there's something about later on where it's like, ugh, why don't you know how to do this already? And we would like never talk to a toddler like that. You know, we would never be like, ugh,
you
walk already.
Again, yeah.
Jeez, be an adult. But I feel like there's sort of that kind of relationship with students who are developing in adolescence.
What were you going to add, Gina?
Well, it's why I have chosen to be a leader as a teacher instead of getting another position like a director or principal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can say these kids, their brains aren't fully developed yet. I can have grace for that. The adults, when there are problems, I'm like, you have a fully developed brain. And so I am so thankful for the adults who can manage and help other adults. I like to stick with the teenagers.
Let's leave it there. We'll stick with the teenagers. If you enjoy SDPB's Teacher Talk, tell your BFAW, that is your best friend at work, tell your administrator, tell the next generation of educators that this is a place to learn about the highs and, yes, the lows of the profession from people who love what they do. You can share, like, and rate the podcast. That helps us find our place in today's crowded audio ecosystem. Teacher Talk airs on SDPB's In the Moment Tuesdays. You can find all the companion blogs with links to the research on our website, sdpb.org/teachertalk, or just click through the podcast feed to get to our episode webpage. We are produced by SDPB's In the Moment team, Ara Youngeman, Ellen Kester. Our engineer is Colton Nicholson, Regina Benz, and Jackie Wilbur. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.